Second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. I only wish you were able to tolerate a little foolishness from me, but of course you are tolerant towards me. You see, the jealousy that I feel for you is God's own jealousy. I arranged for you to marry Christ, so that I might give you away as a chaste virgin to this one husband. But the serpent, with his cunning, seduced Eve. And I am afraid that in the same way your ideas may get corrupted and turned away from simple devotion to Christ. Because any newcomer has only to proclaim a new Jesus, different from the one that we preached, or you have only to receive a new spirit, different from the one you have already received, or a new gospel, different from the one you have already accepted, and you welcome it with open arms. As far as I can tell, these arch-apostles have nothing more than I have. I may not be a polished speechmaker, but as for knowledge, that is a different matter. Surely we have made this plain, speaking on every subject in front of all of you. Or was I wrong, lowering myself so as to lift you high, by preaching the gospel of God to you and taking no fee for it? I was robbing other churches, living on them so that I could serve you. When I was with you and ran out of money, I was no burden to anyone. The brothers who came from Macedonia provided me with everything I wanted. I was very careful, and I always shall be, not to be a burden to you in any way. And by Christ's truth in me, this cause of boasting will never be taken from me in the regions of Achaia. Would I do that if I did not love you? God knows I do. And our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In your prayers, do not babble as the pagans do, for they think that by using many words, they will make themselves heard. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And do not put us to the test, but save us from the evil one. Yes, if you forgive others their failings, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failings either." Our reflection from today's readings. In my understanding, the Bible is not the imposition of thought, but rather an invitation or a challenge to think. When you think about it, for God to impose on us would be most ungodlike, according to the way the Bible presents its understanding of the mystery that we call God. There are some principles, of course. For Christians, God is the Trinity and Jesus is Saviour. And there are some guidelines. For example, love your neighbour as you love yourself. But the Bible does not provide a blueprint for my life or your life. Each life, each vocation is unique and is meant to be lived out by each human being within the context of the Christian and human community. Hopefully, making wise and courageous decisions, guided by what the Bible and our church tradition provides as a basis for our decision-making. Now, in today's readings, we have two guidelines or teachings about important aspects of Christian life. The first, and perhaps most important, is in the Gospel reading, and it is about how to pray. Jesus teaches the disciples not to pray like the pagans do, and we often do pray in a pagan way. It is good to pray frequently, but we are manipulative creatures, and we can measure the worth of our prayer by the amount of time we spend doing it, or by the number of prayers we say. For example, for some, the longer the liturgy, the more efficacious it must be. Mustard? Maybe. The gospel reading warns us about thinking we can sort of buy God's favor by multiplying prayer. The conviction that I must be praying all the time can also lead to anxiety. I remember a person telling me as a boy that unless there was a priest somewhere in the world saying Mass at each moment of the day, God would blow it up because of all its evils. A deeply pious person, no doubt, but what an awful idea of God. No, says Jesus, when you pray, don't heap up prayers. Rather, just pray like this. And so he presents what we call the Lord's Prayer as a way to pray, a guide to praying. He says, pray like this. Many people prefer to use existing prayers that have become established in the community, and that is a good thing. And when gathered together as a community, it's probably wise and practical to use an accepted or common form of prayer to avoid divisions. But Jesus is also encouraging us to make up our own prayers guided by his teaching. For its part, the reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians exhorts its audience about another important aspect of Christian life, and that is to be critical. It's another necessary human and Christian attitude as long as it is implemented wisely. Paul is taking the church in Corinth to task for being very much like us moderns, that is, following the latest fad, the latest celebrity preacher who happens to land in town. But instead of wielding the big stick and condemning his audience, Paul appeals to their better nature as ones who are, as he says, tolerant towards me. He asks them to consider his credentials and whether he was fair and honest when he worked among them. He was there for their benefit and not his own, as he implies those arch-apostles are. Paul claims he conducted himself in this way so that they would see not Paul, but Christ's truth in me. In short, Paul is urging them to think critically and to compare his mission against those of the newcomers. And he is convinced he is preaching the truth. But the whole point about truth is that it cannot be imposed. Because, as the Bible says, the truth will make you free. Paul can go only so far, and he knows it. The rest is up to the Corinthians and ourselves to make honest decisions about where our commitments lie.